Today, we're going to talk specifically about helping make our communities healthier financially. All right. You see, Scripture actually has a lot to say about finances, and I believe that we help make our communities healthier financially first by getting healthy financially ourselves. All right? You can't bring health to others if you don't have it first yourself. Think about it for a minute. If I was your friend and I was telling you, you know, smoking is not good for you, it'll give you lung cancer, it's really hard on your body, you shouldn't smoke, but I'm smoking a cigarette while I tell you, what are you going to think? What? Shut up. Yeah, that's what you're going to think. So you can't bring health to others unless you have it yourself. So getting healthy financially, we're just going to quickly go over this because we've talked about this before, but you become healthy personally in your finances by having a healthy financial plan. A financial plan is others' names for it, a spending plan, a budget. You see, wealth has a tendency to disappear. Money seems to just go without even trying. How many would agree it's easy to spend money? It is easier than it's ever been with all, you know, online. You can just push a thing on your phone and you spent money. It's amazing. So easy. You used to have cash and you'd have to go to the store and find what you wanted. It was a little trickier to spend, but now, boy, we can spend easily. So you need a spending plan. And there are businesses and stuff out there that's so amazing. But here's the thing. You will never have enough money to buy everything you like. Let me say that again. You will never have enough money to buy everything you like. Because when you get more money, you start to like more expensive things. Did you know that? It's kind of a human nature thing that we kind of like and want more. So having a spending plan, no matter what level your income is important. Proverbs 23:5 says, "In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle." If you don't have a budget, you will get to the end of the month and you will wonder where it flew away to. And you'll be like, "I don't know. Maybe it was eating out twice a day for the whole week. That'll do it. We love restaurants and we support restaurants, but is it in your budget?" It can be anything, and if you don't know, instead of realizing I need to adjust my spending, you're often thinking, well, I just need to work more hours, or maybe I need a second job. Do you know you can have two jobs and still not know where your money went at the end of the month? You need a budget. The second way that you get healthy financially is by getting out of debt. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." The more debt you get, the more of a slave you become. And people who have overwhelmed themselves with debt find themselves working nonstop simply to pay interest. And it's not a life you want to live. Find ways to get out of debt. And I'm going pretty quick on this. The third way that you get healthier financially is by gaining financial wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 13 says this, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed." Wisdom is what you need to be healthy financially. I want to make a point here. You see that it said that in wisdom's right hand is long life, and in wisdom's left hand is wealth or riches. Riches are not evil, neither is wealth. The love of money or the overwhelming desire for it creates evil and people do stupid things to get it. But wealth and riches themselves are not evil. And as a matter of fact, God says he wants to bless and pour out wealth and riches on his people, but you need to be healthy. See, God's not going to give you something that will destroy you. So if you're healthy in your finances, there is an open door for God to begin to pour in more. It's like a parent with their child. Would you give your child something that they don't know how to handle, knowing it will hurt them? No, you wouldn't. You would teach them first how to handle it, then you would give it to them. Like this, would you give a 5-year-old a motorcycle, but give them no instructions? Well, they've always wanted a motorcycle. They've been asking for it. No, a good parent's going to make sure they train them first, and they're going to give them a motorcycle that fits a 5-year-old with the proper protection and everything needed, aren't they? But how often as believers are we like, oh, God, please, just bless me. Let me win the lottery. Oh, don't do that. Don't go there. Pastor, don't go there. Oh, gambling is not the way to get wealthy. If you were here, I'm not sure when I shared that message. I shared actual stories of people who won the lottery and were broke within a very short period of time. And for some, it did more than make them broke. They ended up divorced, broke, and not wanting to live. Money is not the answer, okay? Money is a tool, and if you have wisdom how to use it, you will have it. All right, so get healthy ourselves. The second point, if we want to see our communities healthier financially, is that we need to be generous people in our community. All right, Proverbs 11:24. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to the one who searches for it. This is an amazing portion of scripture that says this: if you're willing to give out, you gain even more. If you are stingy, it doesn't produce wealth. It can actually cause there to be poverty. And then he goes on in the context of someone, a farming picture that they would have understood. In the context, if there's a time of need, people need grain, but you're hoarding it because you're waiting for a better price, you're not going to sell it. They actually say that's a bad idea. Are you generous? Being generous can bless your community and can bless you. So let me ask you the question, are you generous? I think most of us think we feel like we're generous. But generosity is not just a feeling, there's actions behind it. So maybe a better way to do is think of when is the last time you were generous outside of your own family. That'd be a good way to think of it. So if you can think about, when was the last time I was generous outside of my family or my best friend maybe? Okay, so anyways, we're not going to ask you those questions, but just think about that. Don't get discouraged now. It's okay. We're reading these so that we can do it better. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you wealth. Are you willing to be generous? I believe that's a key to God pouring out. Are you willing to be generous? Generosity is something that the church was known for from its earliest beginnings. Generosity is something that our God is known for, and generosity is something that Jesus was known for. If you call yourself a Christian, you are following Christ's example, you too should be generous. As a matter of fact, stingy and Christian don't go together. There's a stingy Christian. Those don't go together. It should be generous, kind, loving, but never stingy. And God says when he blesses, that he wants you to bless others. God, who created this world we live in, was generous. Look at his creation. What are all those stars for? Except to light up the night sky and for you and I to behold. He didn't just make five. Five would have been enough. Now you need the sun. A few more for good looks. Billions? What about the flowers? He could have just made a rose. We'd all been happy. No, he made all kinds, multitudes of flowers. And what about food? Fruits and plants and seeds, multitudes of different kinds he created. He's generous. I mean, he could have just made oats so you could have porridge three times a day. Everybody's like, no thanks. And then he's so generous, after the flood, he was like, I think these guys need steak once in a while. And he said, yeah, you can eat meat. He's generous. Generous. And Jesus, of course, was no different. In Luke 5, verse 4, we pull into a story here where Jesus has just finished preaching. And he preached off of a boat, because you could pull the boat onto the water and everybody on the shore could hear him. And when he finished preaching on the boat, he says to Simon, and we'll start on chapter 5, verse 4. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid, for from now on you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Jesus was miraculously generous, and it changed their lives. Interesting. Jesus came and was generous first, and then said, come follow me. Jesus understood that he needed to show who he was, and that he cared, and that he was generous. If they had caught only one fish, do you think Peter would have had the same reaction? Well, that's not a miracle. He just got lucky. If they'd caught five fish, I need you to see something. The generosity of Christ makes a difference. And your generosity makes a difference in this community. People take note of miraculous generosity. People take note of generosity that goes beyond the normal. You and I are called to be generous. You see, Jesus didn't call those disciples to follow him by telling them how terrible they were. You guys are the worst sinners there ever was. You better follow me. Wouldn't have worked. Instead, he was miraculously generous. And when they realized they were in the presence of a miracle from God, there was no words needed to be said. Peter knew, this is a miracle from God. Oh no, get away from me. He knew his sin. You see, when you are generous and you show the love of God, you don't have to tell people where they've messed up. Most people know. Think about it. Do you know when you do wrong? Yep. So does the world. They know when they've messed up. Do they need you to slap them upside the face a couple times? How about show them the love of Jesus? And how about let's be generous? And of course, Jesus showed it, and then he asked his disciples to do the same. In Mark 6 and verse 37, Jesus once again has been preaching to a lot of people. He's been preaching on the hill, and he's been teaching for a long time, and the people are hungry. And his disciples come to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, you better send these people away to go get some food in the villages, because you know it's getting late, and they are hungry. And Jesus turns to his disciples, and in Mark 6:37, he says this, "But Jesus said, 'You feed them.'" With what, they asked? "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." Jesus says, "How much bread do you have?" He asked, "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And he looked up toward heaven and he blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. And he divided the fish for everyone to share. He blessed it and he kept breaking it again and again and again. They fed 5,000 men plus women and children, which could have been upwards of 17,000 people altogether, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then they had 12 basketfuls left over. Interesting, he had 12 disciples. I think he was trying to teach them something here. What about you? You see, he asked them to be generous, and their first thought was, "Well, I can't. You know, we don't have enough." There's a key in this verse that I want you never to forget. He said, "What do you have?" You see, being generous is not about what you could do if you had it. It's about what do you have right now. Do you have a gift? Do you have a voice? You have something. God has given you something, guaranteed. Don't you dare say, "I have nothing." Now, the cool thing about this story is you definitely have more than they did. Because we know from other gospels, they got those 5 loaves and 2 fish from a boy. What? So literally, when Jesus said, "Go check what you have," they went and checked it. They had nothing, so they asked, "Does anybody here have some bread and fish?" A little boy gave it to them. So after a boy gave them his stuff, they now had something. Whoa. Yeah, you can't get any lower than that. You can't get any less than that. I'm bringing this for a reason. There is nobody here who can say, "I don't have anything." You have something. And God wants to use it. If you'll be obedient with it and use what you have, get ready for him to do the supernatural. Don't anybody get nervous. I'm not trying to pull money out of you. I'm teaching you something. And I'm talking about the community right now completely. This is not a message about your tithe and giving to the church. This is your community. I remember the time when I was buying groceries at one of the grocery stores here in town. And there have been times through the years in ministry and doing things where, man, there was not enough. And I was just about as far in a hole as the bank would let me go, but you need groceries. I was like, "Well, some way, yeah, we can probably go a little far. I don't know." But there I was at the grocery. The lady behind me in the grocery till, after it all ran through, she walks up and says, "Oh, I'm going to pay for your groceries." Yeah, and I was like, "No, don't do that." I didn't do that. I was like, "Let me get out of the way. The debit machine's right there. Yeah, go ahead. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." Generosity. I've never forgotten it. And I've always said, "Lord, I want to be that kind of generous. I want to be that kind of generous." And obviously, I'm not going to come here and brag about anything I've done, but God has been generous to me, and I've realized I can be generous to others and do the same. I remember the time where we had a vehicle break down, and we took it to 2 different shops. We took it to a shop. I won't say names because we're not running any shops down, but it was worse, and they charged me $600. And we had to tow it to another shop. That's how bad it was. It wouldn't run. And the other shop couldn't fix it, but they didn't charge me any money. And we walked. And when you're an evangelist, you can't walk very far to do ministry across town. I'll never forget when someone gave me a call. "Hey, can you meet us at the dealership? There's a vehicle there we want to get for you." I said, "No," I didn't say that. I said, "What time would you like us to meet you? Can it be a little bit, because we have to walk?" And I thought to myself, "Lord, I want to be generous like that." You see, being generous, people never forget it. And they know generosity that is beyond the normal has God involved in it. You want people to believe that God is real, you be generous beyond the normal. And they're going, "What?" Maybe you're here today and you're in a spot where you're like, it's not going to work. God, can you be generous? And maybe he's saying, hey, what do you have? There's a story in the Old Testament about a lady who is in a bad situation. She owes money, and the creditor says, you can't pay, and it's been a while. I'm going to take your sons, and they're going to become my slaves. That's how you're going to pay the bill. Yeah, that was a different world, wasn't it? Thankfully, they can't do that now. But you get the point. It was a different world. And she goes to the prophet and says, this is what's happening. I need help. Do you know the first thing the prophet said to her? What do you have? Whoa. You see, God is about doing miracles through what you already have. Too many times we're looking for some kapoofy thing in the sky. He wants to do it through you and with what you already have. And she says, well, the only thing I have in my house is a little bit of oil in a jar. There's not much. And he says, all right, here's what I want you to do. You go borrow every vessel and container you can from every neighbor you can. And don't just borrow a few. You borrow everything. You bring it in the house and you take that oil and you pour it out. And you fill every one of those containers. And when they're filled, you sell them, you pay off your bills, and you live on the rest. Wow, that was a retirement plan too. Who knew? Wait a minute, hold on. This much oil, and the word of God is saying is if you will do this, I'm going to pay all those bills and give you enough to live on. You see, that lady now had a choice. Am I going to be obedient with what I have or not? Do you know many times people miss out on unbelievable opportunities and miracles because they won't take a step with what they have. They only think about what they don't have. That's not a way to live. He's already given you something. Every one of you in this place have something. You have a gift. You have a talent. You have something special. I know because God doesn't make junk. He makes awesome people with special gifts. And you're no different. She chooses the right thing. Okay, I'm going to use what I have. And she tells her boys, boys, you go to every neighbor you can and you borrow containers. I wonder what they said when they went to borrow the containers. Hey, we need to borrow some containers. Oh, what do you need the containers for? Well, we're going to put oil in them. Oh, really? Where are you getting the oil? We're not sure yet. But anyways, can we borrow containers? They borrowed a lot of containers. I'm telling you a little bit right now about being generous and about faith. Faith is obedient with what you have. And when you do that, God pours out in abundance. She had to be obedient or we would not have read about this miracle. She borrows the containers. I also want you to see this as part. When you're down to absolutely nothing, and you're like, I don't even have anything to start with, then you might have to borrow a little bit from somebody to start. I'm bringing this on purpose because I don't believe there's anybody here that low. But those stories in the Bible, they were that low. She pours out. I think the container could have been this big. Filled, filled, filled. It's a miracle. They fill them, they sell the oil, and they pay their bills, and they live on the rest. Because she was obedient with what she had. What is God asking you to do with what you have? You see, he asked the disciples to be generous to those around with what they had, as little as it was. What has he put on your heart? What is he speaking to you? Because if you will take a step of being generous to those around you with what you have, and let me say this clearly, you actually have to have it, and using your credit card is not what you have. I like to make this clear. Don't go use your credit card to bless somebody if you don't actually have it. Now, some people use a credit card well, and they spend on it, and they get points and benefits, and they always pay it at the end of the month. Well, if that's how you use it, that's different. But if you don't actually have it, I would say that it's out of line. Okay, so you will never hear us say donate on your credit card. Again, if you use that as your normal spending pattern and you pay it off, that's different. That was a little financial wisdom. But what do you actually have? Well, I don't have anything. Do you have a rhubarb plant in your backyard? You can give someone some rhubarb? Man, you can't even kill rhubarb plants if you got a rhubarb plant in your backyard. What do you have? I remember many years ago, I grew up on a farm, and we didn't have much money, but we had gardens of stuff. We used to plant, I think they were like fields of potatoes. Now, I was littler then, and I had to weed them, so they were fields. Probably not. But anyhow, a lot of potatoes. And I remember one year, that potato crop was crazy good. And we filled our root cellar with potatoes, and then we gave away potatoes to everybody we could find to give away potatoes. What do you have? I can guarantee you God blessed abundantly because we gave what we had. All right, I've said a lot on this, but I believe it's key. Generosity begins with what you have. And when you're faithful with little, what does God say? He will give you more. Isn't that interesting? You want to be someone who blesses somebody with a vehicle? Well, start with the little things. You want to be someone who one day blesses someone with a house? Then you better start with the little things. Because when you're faithful with little, he gives you more. We make healthier communities financially by using our wisdom and words to bless our community. Okay, we're going to take this a little further because we have to get beyond our own family, our own church, you know, our own thing, if we really want to make a difference in the community. So are we going to use our wisdom and our words to change where we live? Proverbs 11:11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. And we're just going to do a couple verses here without any explaining. Mark 11:22, have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you received it, and it will be yours. You see, Jesus is saying, you guys have faith in God, and know this, your words have power. Your words, when you believe, have power. Now he begins with have faith in God, because I can tell you this, if God has spoken it to you, it is easy to believe when you say it, it's going to happen. If it's just your own thing, well, you probably shouldn't believe it anyways. But when God says it, you speak it, and believe it, it happens. Okay, so what has God said to you concerning finances? You got a whole scripture full of verses here. What has he said to you concerning your finances? Is there a verse that says, I want you to be broke and struggling? That'd be Hezekiah chapter. No, there's no verse. I want you to be beggars. Is there a verse that says that? Well, I'm really going to just make some of you think. The disciples gave up everything to follow Jesus. Houses, lands. You know what he turned around and said? Anybody who has given up these things for me will get 100 times more in this life. What? So did he want them to be super poor? That was his answer? Oh, he doesn't want you to be controlled by anything, stuff, wealth. He'll do whatever it takes to help you get out from under that, but he wants to bless you. You see, your words have power. Proverbs 18:20 says, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You see, the words you speak have power, and they also have the ability to affect others around you. Do you know that a community, if it gets where people are complaining and running it down, it can actually destroy it. But your words can build it up, instead. Proverbs 16:23 says, "The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly." Listen to this, verse 23. "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." Did you know you can teach yourself how to speak and it makes a difference? "Oh, I'm just one of those people who says what I think." Okay. That's not scriptural, but you can go ahead and do that if you want, but it's going to affect you. "I just tell the truth. I don't care what you think." Well, it's funny because my Bible says you should give them the truth in love. Yeah, the way you bring truth matters. The way you speak matters. Teach yourself what to say. If you're saying things that are breaking down, hurting, causing pain, stop. You see, you do have a say of what your mouth says. You are in charge, not your mouth. Sometimes the best thing you can do is zip it. There's a scripture that says the person who shuts their mouth is considered wise. Wow. You don't think about that. Everybody's debating, they're trying to figure it out, and you're just quiet, and everybody thinks you're so smart. But actually, you know, you just had nothing to say. Sometimes you need to know when to be quiet. Oh, it's good. And men, if your wife is telling you something you've done wrong, that's the perfect time to be quiet. Okay. I just had to throw that. Oh, what are you thinking about right now? I got some great news. If you've been saying a lot of stuff that's running yourself down and running others down and negative or depressing, you can just ask the Lord to forgive you because you don't have to go there. And then you start teaching yourself how to do it better. And you don't bang yourself on the head when you do it wrong. You just get better. I found something out. Teaching and learning is a process. But if you give up the first time you don't do it right, you don't learn. Not too many people learn to ride a bike by just jumping on and that was it. A couple of people figured that out, but not too many. I helped all my kids learn to ride a bike. Some of them were really quick, some of them took longer. But if they had given up at any spot, they still wouldn't be able to ride a bike. So teach yourself how to speak. Get wisdom, learn how. And oh, please, if you're just wanting to run down, zip it. Scripture says words can be like a sword, or words can bring health to the bones. Choose what you want your words to do, because they have power. Proverbs 24 and verse 3. And I am getting closer to wrapping up, I promise. "A house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables." Wisdom and knowledge work together. And you and I need to use our wisdom and knowledge to bless our communities, not just ourselves. You see, knowledge is knowing something, and wisdom is the plan of action needed to put that knowledge to use. Because you can know something, but if you don't have wisdom, you just are a know-it-all. Knowing something is only good if you couple it with wisdom. What do I mean? Let's go back to my, example earlier about smoking. You can know that smoking will give you lung cancer and makes your breath stink really bad. You can know that. But it does you no good if you don't have wisdom in how to quit. Wisdom is a plan that says, all right, I'm going to get prayer from my pastor for the spiritual part. I'm going to talk to my doctor about what I can do, and I'm going to get rid of these cigarettes. A plan is the wisdom part. Just knowing something doesn't bring things to pass. Okay? You guys understand that? Wisdom is an action plan to what you know. And we want to help our communities. We need to be willing to get involved where we can make a difference. Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. It's talking about Joseph. And listen what it says. These patriarchs were jealous of their brother Joseph. And they sold him to be a slave in Egypt, but God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles and gave him favor before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom so that Pharaoh appointed him governor over all Egypt and put him in charge of the palace. You see, Joseph had both knowledge and wisdom, and he used them both to bless a country that he was captured as a slave to, sold as a slave to Egypt. He's a slave in that country, a country that is completely ungodly, but he uses his wisdom and knowledge to abundantly bless them. They are so blessed that they end up owning all the land there is because of the wisdom he gave them to save during the 7 good years when the 7 bad years of famine came. So let me ask you this. Can you use your wisdom and knowledge to bless Slave Lake? I believe you can. You know, there are people who are called to politics. If you're called to it and you have wisdom, do it. Make a difference. Cause your community to be blessed. You see, we are called to bless and be a blessing in our communities. And I'm going to finish with this. We bless our communities the most when we help people find and follow Jesus. You see, John 10 verse 10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. When people come to Christ, things change, their lives become transformed, and people who are transformed bring transformation to a community. You see, if you do everything right and never bring people to Jesus, you'll never truly see a transformed community. You want to see a community that's blessed, lead people to him. Ask people if they know him, if they want to know him, if they want you to pray for them. Have the discussions. Be courageous. Don't be afraid of what you have. The one thing I've found out through the years, people want to know what makes you different. They want to know why you have hope every day. They want to know what makes you get up in the morning happy. You have it. His name is Jesus. He's overflowed you and given you abundantly, even though you didn't deserve it. And this is what is so amazing about the gospel. It's not because we deserve it. Now, I teach things from the pulpit often to help you step into the abundance and to move forward. But what God gave us through Jesus was completely free. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It's forgiveness. It's freedom. It's sins forgiven. It's eternal life forever with him. And all you got to do is say yes. So what about you today? Have you taken that step to ask Jesus to be your Savior? Have you decided, yes, I want to follow him? If you're here today and you've never actually prayed and asked him to come into your life, we're going to take opportunity to do that because I believe it's that important. We do that at each service for a reason. You might be here and never have had that chance. You see, Jesus dying on that cross in your place, shedding his blood, coming here to make a right relationship with the Father, he did that, and then he said, all you need to do is receive it. And he said, you receive it simply if you believe in your heart and you use your mouth. And so we take time to say a little prayer that just allows you to use your mouth to say what you're feeling right now in your heart today as you listen. So I'm going to ask each of you to join me, and we're going to pray that simple prayer for the one or two here today who may be doing this for the first time. So just bow with me and repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. Use my life. I choose now to follow you. Amen.